This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later in the hour, the science of persuasion and what's going on inside the brain of an undecided voter. But first, imagine if we could capture the sun's energy even after dark. Now, you know, traditional solar cells depend on the visible light of the sun for their energy, and they quit working after the last rays of sunlight disappear. But hours, for many hours after the sun sets, the Earth continues to radiate all that heat it absorbed during the day back out into the atmosphere, radiates as off, not as visible light, but as infrared light. That's why, you know, they have those night vision goggles you can see through. It's looking at that infrared radiation. But now researchers say they are working on an inexpensive way to harvest that heat energy using flexible plastic sheets embedded with billions of nanoscale antennas. And these tiny antennas pick up rays of heat energy, like the heat from the sun or stuff coming off of your computer, even your body. And researchers say the heat-capturing sheets might someday be used to power our cars, charge our iPods, even cool off rooms without switching on the traditional AC. So why aren't we already tacking up this solar sheeting? Well, because there are still a few crucial obstacles, as there always are, obstacles to overcome before these nano antenna sheets will be able to supply us with electricity. And joining me now to talk about this technology and some of those challenges is Stephen Novak. He is a physicist at Idaho National Laboratory and the lead researcher at the Solar Nano Antenna Project. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Novak.
Thank you very much.
Did I describe that accurately?
You did very well.
Thank you. So these are actually tiny little antennas that pick up infrared radiation?
That's correct.
And you can actually embed them on giant sheets of plastic?
Yeah, we use an embossing process, and we emboss a master template into plastics and then deposit our antenna metals into those plastics.
Mm-hmm. And what is the obstacle toward just putting this on the market now?
Now, let me explain a little bit of how it works. Unlike traditional solar cells, this works by using the wave properties of light. And we create, basically with the antennas, a resonant circuit. A good analogy would be if you imagine a piece of wood on the ocean, and a wave comes along, and that piece of wood goes up and down. The wave is representative of light, and that piece of wood represents some of the free-flowing electrons in an antenna.
Mm-hmm.
And when those electrons move up and down, it creates an alternating current, which then flows toward the point of least resistance in that antenna, which we call the feed point,
mm-hmm.
and we collect it off there.
Now, the problem is?
The challenge is, as you know, the frequency that the piece of wood is going to be moving up and down is the frequency of the wave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also true of the light wave that we're attempting to capture energy from.
The infrared waves are very high frequency.
What comes out of your wall is about 60 hertz.
60 cycles a second.
60 cycles a second, exactly. And the frequencies of infrared light that we're interested in capturing comes out at around 30 trillion hertz, 30
wow.
trillion times a second. So right now there's no commercial available electrical circuits that can handle that high frequency, although people are working on that.
Do you think it's insurmountable, or you'll eventually get there?
I think with the right amount of research and funding, we can get there.
Well, let's dream a little bit. Now, let's say you can capture that heat and turn it into electricity. How efficient would that be compared to the way we're doing things now?
Well, the antennas are very, very efficient. We use them, antennas in our daily lives, in radios, and radio frequency ID tags. So they're very efficient. That's what they do very well. They transmit, receive energy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have taken antennas that capture energy in this wavelength on silicon substrates, and we have gotten 80% efficiencies. off of them, and we've theoretically moved that up to about 92%.
So you could capture up to, let's say, 90% or more of the heat energy left over after the sun goes down?
That's correct. Now, there's a catch, though, and that catch is anytime you convert energy, and we're obviously going to have to slow these electrons down, you're going to lose efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to come up with some sort of rectifying device or electronic circuitry to be able to move this energy into a usable form.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will lose energy in that conversion.
A lot of energy?
That depends how efficient we are with our rectifiers.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping to get about 50% rectifiers right now.
Mm-hmm. So that still would be an enormous amount of energy compared to regular photovoltaics, which are like 10%, something like that?
Photovoltaics, traditional, are about between 12 and 20%.
12 and 20. Still pretty good for these antennas. Now, let's say this is possible. Give me a typical day in the life of a society now where we have these antennas in use.
Okay, I'll give you a typical morning. How's that?
Okay.
Okay, so I wake up one morning and I look out the window and I see that it's kind of a muggy, hot, very cloudy day. And so I put on my solar antenna shirt to keep me cool.
Because it's going to soak the infrared, the heat off of your body.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get into my new hybrid car with nano antenna skins on it. And it was charging last night from some of the residual heat from the Earth. And so I tune it to capture near-infrared, about 0.8 to 0.9 microns,
mm-hmm.
that is uninhibited by the cloud cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I drive to work, and on the way, the combustion engine comes on, and I plug in my, cell phone or iPod from the nano antenna heat shield over the combustion engine.
That's got a blanket on top of it also, of the
right.
antenna.
And then I walk into my building, for example, and there's the nano antenna wallpaper that is climate control.
And that's cool. It, that's cooling off your room?
That's correct. And then flip on the lights and the computer, which would be powered by some nano antenna laminated roof tiles. And that would be my morning with nano antennas.
Wow. And you could pretty well soak up a lot of the power we needed, that we'd be normally getting out of the sockets. You could be getting it from the heat.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing about antennas are, although we're working in the infrared right now, antennas can be tuned to resonate at any frequency. The challenge has always been the size of the antennas have to be about a quarter wavelength of the frequency of light we're interested in capturing.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually we will get down to the visible range.
Mm-hmm. Do these antennas just, for cooling purposes, do they just suck up the heat from things? Where does the heat go? It has to go someplace, doesn't it?
Yes. I would say a semi-active antenna could potentially modify the frequency of energy by storing it in some sort of capacitance and then letting it off in another frequency. So you would take heat energy in, because there's only certain frequencies that vibrate organic materials that we sense as heat,
mm-hmm.
and giving it off in an innocuous frequency that would organic bodies like ourselves would not sense heat from it.
Mm-hmm. And how cheaply can you make these panels?
Well, we've done an estimate on some of the passive antennas themselves with the materials and the substrate, and we're able to produce these things at about the cost of very inexpensive carpet, about 50 cents to a dollar a square foot.
Are you kidding? But that doesn't include the electronics you'd have to create to
That's correct.
To rectify it and send it and stuff like that. So what would you think that might cost added on?
If we can get the rectification designs into our manufacturing process and not use a lot of exotic materials like we're not using now, it would not be much more expensive.
So for the price of home carpeting, installation, extra.
Right.
You would be able to create this whole different class of, I guess it'd still be heat energy. What would the word would we call this? And now, besides nano antennas, what verbiage or noun should we use for this technology? Or is that the right thing to call it?
Well, I've been calling it nantennas, but that's because I use the word so often that I've shortened it a little bit.
An antenna. And what kind? You said if we had the right funding and whatever, what kind of money are we talking about here?
We probably need some basic research on the electronics, anywhere from $5 to $15 million.
That's not very much money.
Nope. If we have good people to do it and the right team, I think we can make a dent in that. Mm-hmm. That problem, start getting some perhaps inefficient and rectifiers out.
Mm-hmm. Would you expect industry now to jump in? You're at the Idaho National Laboratory doing all this on your own.
We're really looking for partnerships right now.
Yeah.
Especially in the electronics form. We've done very well in being able to scale up the development of these antennas into a manufacturing process. And that's one of the challenges, there's no doubt. The second challenge, of course, is the electronics themselves.
Mm-hmm. Some people have called this 24-hour solar technology, but that's not really true, is it?
I wouldn't say that. But certainly, 4 hours after sunset, you're still getting a fair amount of residual heat.
Which you could store somehow, too.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much, and good luck to you, Dr. Novak.
Thank you very much.
Stephen Novak is a physicist at the Idaho National Laboratory, and the lead researcher on the Solar Nano Antenna Project, or the Nantenna. We're going to call it Nantenna because he does. And we'll be keeping abreast of what's going on in that project. Very interesting. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to change gears and talk about 50 ways, scientific ways that you will be persuasive. New book out. We'll talk about the power of persuasion and how people who study it very carefully and say there's a real science behind it, and we'll talk about it and how it might be being used on you in the campaign this year. So stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.